Good evening, everyone. This is Steve Nelson and Matthew Fraley from BreakpointTrades.com, and this is the weekend newsletter for Sunday, March 29th. And tonight we're doing it all combined, so there will only be one part to make note of, since there isn't a lot of standout charts in the commodity section. We're actually going to take this time, and Matt's going to go over some of the weekly sector charts after we go through the major indexes. We're going to do our best to get through this in a reasonable time frame. And with that said, let's move into the charts. Now, before I move into the charts, I want to make a comment because we've gotten some questions about missing the bull market and missing the rally, etc. Well, the fact of the matter is when you come off of a very, very steep decline like that, we are not about to try to pick exact bottoms. The same guys who may have caught a little bit of a bottom were the same guys who probably tried to play it at 1,300, 1,200, 1,000, 800, and lost money all the way down. We did shift our bias to the long side a couple of weeks ago. We needed confirmation to make sure that this rally was going to go over certain resistance points to feel comfortable we weren't going to immediately turn back down. But despite that, we did shift, as you could see on the watch list, our bias more towards long, simply because we thought we were greatly stretched to the downside and the risk reward wasn't there. But with that said, our primary trend still remains decisively to the downside. Our first chart that's shown here, and I will come back to some of the weekly statistics because I'm on this topic. Our first chart shown here is a weekly chart of the S&P, and it refers to the 13-week and 34-week exponential moving average. This has been a very nice guideline, as well as one of our monthly charts, in looking at the longer-term trend of the market. For those who may be new members or those who have not seen this chart, real simple. When we got a cross down from above of the 13-week through the 34-week, like back in 2000 and then again here in late 2007, it was the onset of a bear market, okay? And you can see in 2000 it ran for, what, two and a half, 3 years. Then we had a cross up in 2003, which we moved up, trended up, and then we had that cross sometime in late 2007. And that, along with the movement of the MACDs confirming this below or above zero, were confirming factors that we were either trending down or up. Currently, the 13-week moving average is still well below the 34-week moving average, and it's only been recently that we've even come up and retested and managed to get slightly over the 13-week moving average. So, again, we view this as a counter-trend rally within our primary trend, and yet we will be looking to play the long side on a pullback should and only if our indicators say to buy this market on that pullback. We have played this initial bounce or this initial rally, which has been nice for certain people who have played it to the tune of 20 to 25%. With some individual stocks, some sectors, etc., even some commodity plays. The ideal entry that we feel will be there will be an orderly pullback that typically would form a higher low, and then if our indicators say it's wise to position long, we will look to do so. We are not about to chase a rally up. This rally could extend easily perhaps to 875, but we're not going to chase the rally up. We've got some long picks out there, and we prefer to stay disciplined and buy into weakness if and only if our indicators say so. So our plan, to reiterate, would be to look to position long into an orderly pullback that allows the overbought readings to unwind. And we're not going to just do it because it's pulled back. We want to see those indicators line up and after that pullback. For all we know, we could just continue to move lower. Anything's possible in the market, especially with what's going on in the world these days and the amount of government intervention that's taking place. So for now, in the near term, short term, intermediate term, we're trending up, but without question, our primary longer term trend remains down. So even in the short term, intermediate term, we have to view it as a counter trend rally. So I hope that helps to answer some of those questions that we've been getting. A few members have asked us, or a few newbies. Now, with that said, last week we had a nice rally again. Our rally continued with the major indexes gaining between 5% and 7%. You can see many of the indexes continued up, led by the home builders and banks once again. With that said, I think that now the risk reward on the long side is greatly diminished. We are seeing rising wedges on many of the intraday charts, including the 60-minute charts, with multiple points of negative divergence. They have yet to break decisively to the downside, initiating in a pullback and/or deeper correction, but they're in place and they're a warning as to refraining from being overly aggressive here on the long side. Let me just state it that way. So now, with that said, let's move on now to these charts and try to get through them quicker. The next chart is simply a weekly chart of the S&P. It shows in green five waves down, completing what we view as primary wave A, and this, as we view it currently, would be the onset of primary wave B. Our best guess at this point is that primary wave B still has several weeks, if not several months, to play out, but it will not be a straight shot up. So we look for the ABC type scenario to the upside. What levels we're likely to go to, hard to say, but perhaps a 38% retracement is doable. We've seen in the past, even in the Great Depression, a 50% rally unfold on each bear market. So 50% is also not out of the question, but we like to take things one day or one week at a time, and for now, we'll be viewing the market to see if we do get a pullback in the coming week or two, how the market sets up for the opportunity to position in on the long side, as I've said earlier. Now let's move on to look at the count that I just talked about. You can see in red primary wave A. Maybe it unfolds like this: a rally up, a pullback, and a rally up, as shown here to the 38% retracement. Again, do not assume this is something that necessarily will play out. It is a hypothetical scenario. We believe there's a good chance that we can get an extension to this rally. To what level remains unknown. When we see divergences and the market momentum top out, we're going to become much more conservative. So whether or not this play unfolds in this mannerism remains to be seen. But our best guess at this point is we're in a stronger intermediate countertrend rally that has further to go, perhaps after a deeper correction. And then once this completes primary wave B, we believe we will come down again in a primary wave C. But for now, let's focus in on the trend that's unfolding, and that is a uptrend. Our uptrend here in the States has yet to be completely confirmed under Elliott Wave analysis, whereas in Asia, all of those markets are in confirmed uptrends. But, a 20 to 25% rally along with the other indicators we follow, make us feel at least somewhat comfortable that we are in this primary wave B. So again, we'll be looking at the next pullback as an opportunity to perhaps position long. And when I mean pullback, I'm not talking about just simply a quick little pullback. Typically, a deeper pullback will unfold as an ABC and will allow the overbought oscillators to unwind. So while we could be pulling back in A, maybe we pull back 50 points or 30, 40, 50 points or something like that in the S&P, then perhaps we have a run back up in B, okay, for a trading long, then we'll come down in C. And I'll go over that in a minute. But what we really want to see is our longer-term daily and or 60-minute charts unwind some of these divergences and overbought readings and get well-positioned for a long entry in the coming weeks. So now let's move on here and look at the next chart. Again, this monthly chart is very similar to the 1334 week moving average chart above, in that the 20-month moving average has served as a good guideline in differentiating bull and bear markets. You can see in the 90s into 2000, the index here, the S&P, remained above its 20-month moving average before dipping below, coming back above and below. Simple guideline, and if followed, most people would have done a hell of a lot better than listening to any analyst on TV. The next chart is a weekly chart of the Dow, taking us back to the 1929 to 33 period. And here again, it showed the effectiveness of simply using a 13 and 34 exponential moving average on a weekly basis. We saw a negative cross back here in late 1929, which stayed in a bearish position all the way until we got a bullish cross in 1933. Now, within that bear market, within that, we also saw a significant rally between late 29 and into 1930 to the tune of 50%. And that, even a 50% move, did not alter the longer-term primary trend as viewed by this 1334 relationship. You see that that 50% rally did not allow the 13 to cross back above the 34. So, yes, can we have such a rally and still keep our primary trend down? You betcha we can, and here's a perfect example. That doesn't mean that we will not try to participate in a rally, but we're always cognizant of the primary trend, and that primary trend is down. And it's down until it's not down. Simply put. So now let's move on to the daily and intraday charts with respect to these indexes. And the first chart I have here is a daily chart of the Dow. I talked about this on a intraday or a intra-week update. And what I talked about is the ability of the S&P to break above this falling wedge, which is highlighted with the solid blue line. And that accompanied a break above our 50-day moving average. We managed to grind a little higher, getting up towards our initial resistance area here in this 833 area. You can see that if we look at the Fibonacci move off of our low of 666 up to our previous swing high at 944, that ties in with approximately a 61.8% retracement. We are also nearing levels of resistance points on this chart. And as you can see, we have a trend line drawn from our lows back in November, again in January, quite a few in January and early February, which also takes us up here into, the, say, the 850, 880 area. We have horizontal resistance as marked by our previous highs back in January and February around 875. And then we have a dashed trend line that is actually drawn parallel to our solid trend line, our lower boundary, that comes in also around that area. So we've got a confluence of resistance overhead. Whether or not we can make it up there on this particular leg remains to be seen. We've already come quite a distance in a short period of time. On a symmetry basis, we went down here 18 trading days, okay, off of those February highs, and we have now gone up or trended up for approximately 15 trading days. So perhaps we can extend this rally after a little dip, like we saw on Friday. Perhaps that follows through and we have one more push up, or the other scenario is we get a deeper rollover that begins here and now. We shall see. We're going to present further analysis on that here in a minute. Anyway, the point that I want to get across here is we've come a long way in a short period of time. Our RSI, as you can see, is up where it has found resistance in all of these bear market rallies. We are extended in terms of our stochastic readings. We have no negative divergence in the daily MACD. So the trend is up, but we are extended. Let me just state it like that. Now let's move on and look at the SPY daily, and this will help give us a clue as to what we should be looking for in the coming days next week. You can see clearly here the steep rising channel that's unfolded off of the lows in early March. We continue to remain within that channel, and while Friday's close came right at the lower boundary of that channel, we've yet to decisively break down out of that channel. For me to say that the bears are back in control in the short term, I would have to see Monday's close go below that Thursday's low candle. A slight break of this and coming down to retest the 50-day moving average could allow us to bounce up and perhaps form a head and shoulders top. But without a decisive break below Thursday's low candle, we are not about to think that the bears are firmly back in control. Certainly, we can get a pullback, and a pullback could even be to the tune of 61%. But unless I see a break below that Thursday's low, we're going to view the pullbacks as just that, a pullback within an uptrend. Now let's move on to the intraday charts. And the first chart I'm going to show is a 60-minute chart of the S&P, and it's got a lot of trend lines on it, annotations, so let's walk through this thing slowly. First of all, you can see the rising channel that I've drawn, parallel lines going through the highs and our two lows there in early to mid-March. Okay, off of there, we've moved up consistently, as you can see, and I've put in a potential and or hypothetical left shoulder and head, okay? And within this channel, what we see is a rising wedge unfolding. You can see the trend line that I've drawn in here underneath the recent lows. You can also see clearly we're sitting right on that rising trend line as of Friday. Now, the question is, are we once again going to bounce off of this rising trend line here on Monday, or are we going to break down through this trend line and then perhaps go down and test this support area around 791? Okay, I would expect buyers to probably show up here around the 791 area on this first retest again, and then perhaps we get a bounce back off of the 791 area, back up to retest the broken wedge, which should come in around the mid-820s, 820 area, and that would serve to set a right shoulder. Then, we would, under this scenario, turn back down, break below our neckline around 791, and move down to around the 750 area. Why 750? Because the pattern measurement, should it play out as such, measures down about 41 points, which would take us down to the 750 area, which happens to be the 50% Fibonacci retracement, and it lines up with our lower channel. So again, this may or may not unfold as such, but what is valid here is this rising wedge and these support areas that I've highlighted. A decisive turn back up off of this lower boundary of this wedge, taking out the highs, would certainly serve to negate this pattern. Simple as that. So let's keep an eye on how this may unfold and keep this in the back of our mind. The reason this has some credence is we have multiple points of negative divergence here off of our recent highs. In effect, we have a triple negative divergence in place on the MACD. So right now, our oscillators are unwinding. You can see the MACD is coming back down. The RSI is coming down. Stochastics are coming down. And that's normal price, our normal action on the oscillators as we see some selling. So something to keep in mind over the coming days and weeks. Now, let's get really focused in here on the 60-minute time frame with respect to the S&P. The SPY chart shows clearly a rising trend line, which we're sitting just above. We do have that gap area just below. So perhaps we overshoot this neckline area that I've talked about and go straight into the gap. That's possible. And that gap falls, you know, just below that neckline that I've drawn on the S&P above. So we're not going to just blindly assume that buyers have to show up around this 790 area with a gap below. Maybe they'll take it down, fill the gap, and turn it up from there. We'll take it one day at a time, but I am pointing out the gap that clearly shows up in the SPY chart here, as you can see around the high 77s, low 78 area. Now, let's move on to the 30-minute SPY chart. Here you can see what is known as an ending diagonal bearish rising wedge. So within this strong uptrend, we can break it down, as we've said before, into five waves. I've negated to put in all the wave counts because I want to focus specifically on this ending diagonal clearly shown on the 30-minute chart. And what I've done is I've put in an A, B, C, D, E. And what I've said here is I've provided a couple of scenarios. Whether E is already in place as of Thursday's high, and we've already started pulling back, which would indicate we're going to break down out of this rising wedge ending diagonal early next week, or perhaps we pull back a little bit and move up one more time to complete E under this pattern. This is assuming this pattern is unfolding. In either case, under this scenario, we're going to eventually break to the downside and move lower. The question is, how deep of a retracement do we have on this initial leg of selling? And some potential targets are listed here at the 38% and the various other Fib levels. I would expect a ABC type correction, so perhaps the initial leg of selling takes us down towards the 790 or 38% area, whatever. We bounce up in B, perhaps back testing this wedge or that higher trend line on the S&P 60, and then come back down again. So don't assume that just because we have a initial leg of selling and we rally off of it that the selling's over. With the daily charts severely overbought, it wouldn't surprise me that it takes a week or a couple of weeks, really, to unwind those daily oscillators with an ABC-type correction. And we'll monitor that day by day. But for now, our focus is in on this rising wedge pattern or ending diagonal here. And let's see if we get a resolution to that pattern here, perhaps on Monday or Tuesday. The 15-minute chart, which is shown next, looks like a megaphone type talk. It's an expanding triangle. You can see the pattern that's formed on the S&P 15 minute chart here over the past several trading sessions. And within this, but within the black trend lines, which are like a megaphone top, we have a potential inverse cup and handle, a bearish cup and handle pattern, or a descending triangle, which argues for a move down. The funny thing is, should this pattern resolve to the downside, it measures down to the 790 area, perhaps a couple of points above. And if you remember, the 790 area above on that 60-minute chart is where I have the potential neckline drawn in. Whether or not this unfolds as such remains to be seen, but the fact of the matter is this pattern does have a measurement down to around that 790 area. How do I calculate the measurement? I take 833, which is the high, down to around that low around 813, which is 20 points. Take 20 points, and it takes us down to approximately 793, the low 790s. So should this pattern meet its objective measurement, it would take us down to there. Perhaps it exceeds it and goes all the way to the lower boundary of this megaphone top. Anything's possible, including a break to the upside out of this pattern. So we just view the patterns, and when we get a decisive break of a trend line, that can be viewed as an initial trigger, and if it's supported by another trigger you use, perhaps a moving average crossover, some other indicator you use, well, then that's a reason to enter a trade, either to the long or short side. Now let's move on to the next chart. This is a chart we show quite often. It's a blow-up closer view of the 5-3 stochastics, which quite honestly has done a pretty good job. Now we did get a horizontal breakthrough here around the 18th, whereas the index has kept going up. And I talked about this, and what we want to see is the angle of our faster line move decisively below the signal line. And here we saw more of a horizontal type cross to the downside. And then finally, we got a move down allowing for a two-day move down on the S&P. This was followed by a quick reversal candle back up, sending this indicator back on a buy signal. And now here we're back at a point where we may get a crossover back to the downside. This, at this juncture, this would also be supported by a negative divergence as seen above on the RSI too. So if we get a decisive crossover here to the downside, we're likely to see at least a pullback unfold over the coming days or weeks. Now let's move on and look at the NDX and Qs. Like I talked about with the S&P and SPY above, the NDX as well as in either a rising wedge or a rising channel, depending exactly how you draw it in. Irregardless, it's still holding this lower boundary as of Friday's close. Only a break and a close below Thursday's low would suggest that the bears are definitely back in control in the short term. A pullback and that holds above this area on Monday would only suggest that, a pullback. It's not indicative of a major reversal coming in these markets. We are overbought here on the stochastics. We're up here at an elevated area on RSI, so perhaps we have an ABC type down starting sometime next week. We have also to be cognizant of the fact that the end of the month sometimes is met with window dressing, and then the beginning of the following month sometimes gets money inflows. Those are all tertiary things to keep in mind. We want to focus in on price action and what our indicators are telling us. So at this stage, we're going to be watching these channels, both on the S&P and the NDX, for a break down out of these steep rising channels or wedges. One other thing I want to point out is the volume patterns here on the NDX and the S&P above still remain quite bullish. You can see there is certainly accumulation as shown on the volume patterns. That doesn't mean that we necessarily are going to go higher from here, but overall, that's a positive in terms of perhaps being able to buy the pullback in the coming weeks. So for now, the volume patterns remain constructive. You can see Friday's sell-off occurred on considerably less volume than the previous two up days. Now let's move on to the Qs. This chart shows, again, the confluence of resistance here up around the 3150-60 area that I've talked about really over the last couple of days. We have horizontal resistance. We have trend line resistance off of the two previous peaks. We've got lows to highs resistance, all lining up right around this area. So it's not surprising to see the market or the Qs at a minimum pause here and perhaps reverse down from here. Support would be found underneath at the dashed trend line perhaps, and then the moving averages below. The fact that we have negative divergence in place now on the 5-3, the fact that the RSI is at elevated levels, our stochastics are up, are all reasons to be somewhat cautious about chasing the rally here. We have yet to get a decisive sell signal on price or our stochastics turning down, but it's just simply a reason to be cautious about chasing this advance. Then when we move down and look at the next chart, which is a 60-minute chart of the Qs, you can once again see a potential bearish rising wedge unfolding, and within this rising wedge, you can see a little ending diagonal setting up, like I showed in the SPY chart above. Also, this is supported by negative divergence in the RSI and MACD. In fact, on the Qs, we have quadruple negative divergence. So this is a good example of why negative divergence itself is not a permanent sell signal. You can see when we had negative divergence here in place initially around the 18th and 19th, it did amount to a pullback, but that was it, a pullback. We rallied up. We once again formed a divergent high. Yes, we pulled back, but we again rallied up. What's noteworthy here is the 50-period exponential moving average on the 60-minute chart has served as support throughout this uptrend. So a decisive break below the 50-period moving average, which happens to correlate nicely now with our rising lower boundary trend line, would certainly signal that at a minimum a pullback is unfolding. You can see that we did get some volume picking up to the sell side here late last week. And it remains to be seen now if we're going to get another rally attempt or we're going to break down here. Again, these divergences and these patterns that are in place are bearish. Doesn't mean they have to break down imminently or immediately, but they are warning signs and the odds favor some downside resolution in the not too distant future. The next chart is a 30-minute chart of the Qs, showing a bearish rising wedge in place from our lows. You can see that we clearly have negative divergence in place, but yet we have not yet broken down out of this wedge. We're still holding that lower boundary, and it remains to be seen if we're going to get a downside resolution. Should we? I guess, you know, some initial targets would be these fib areas. In particular, I like this 38.2% Fibonacci area as a reasonable target since it lines up with some previous horizontal support resistance areas. So keep in mind that that these indices right now are in bearish patterns. Aggressive traders could position within these patterns with a reasonable stop in place. and then they could look to add on a break, or for people who want to wait for a confirmation, they could pounce once it breaks out of this pattern. But again, remember now, in the short term, intermediate term, we are trending up. So don't assume that we have to retrace this entire advance up by breaking out of this wedge. We could, for example, come down, breaking out of this wedge, find support here, perhaps at one of these higher fib areas, rally back up and retest the broken wedge, and then come down. So don't just sit there and assume that because we're breaking down, it's going to go down day after day after day. Trade according to your own trading objectives and risk tolerances, but be mindful now that at least in the short and intermediate term, we are trending up. Yes, we're overbought and we're due for a corrective pullback, but please be aware of that when shorting. It's not like shorting when we were in downtrending markets like we were in here the late February, March pullback as well as last fall. What I'm trying to say is poor entries will not get you bailed out when you're trading against the trend. So let's be precise with our entries. Again, here, the 15-minute chart of the Qs shows a similar pattern to this S&P above, which we have this expanding triangle known as a megaphone-type top. And within there, we have this descending triangle or perhaps a inverse cup and handle pattern. Let's see how this resolves. Should it resolve down, we've got a gap to fill, and we could move down here to this support area around 2966, which you can see lines up with the shows up clearly on the 30-minute chart as our previous swing low. And then below that, we have the 38% retracement at 2922. So I think this week is going to be quite telling. Whether or not the bulls can manage to ratchet us up one more level without a pullback remains to be seen. And then the next chart is a falling wedge that may be unfolding here on the QID. So one way to play a breakdown of the Q's rising wedge would be perhaps to play the QID to the long side. So again, this QID may break out of this wedge, run up, and then it may pull back and actually do a back test. So don't assume that if it breaks out of this pattern, it's going to trend up day after day. You need to follow your shorter term charts to see if they are supporting the move, and if they get overbought or start showing divergences, maybe then you'll at least take some profits and look to re-enter on some type of pullback. Now let's focus in on a couple of sector charts. Needless to say, the financials are important. I show a 60-minute chart here with an assumption that 967 has made a top, and there I show some Fibonacci areas that we could reach on a pullback. We're slightly, according to how I have this drawn, breaching this rising trend line. I guess you could scrape in another trend line off these lows, but there is some weakness here appearing on the 60-minute time frame with regard to the financials. Another way, though, that you could view this truthfully is that it's flagging out. So you could also view that we thrust it up, we're forming a bullish-type pennant, and should this turn and resolve to the upside, we could thrust back higher. So again, don't just assume that because we've got a small breach here that we have definitively moved or definitively started some type of larger corrective activity. It's not clear as of Friday's close. The 15-minute chart of the XLF, I want to point out the black rising trend line here that is so far serving to support the rally on the XLF. We've yet to break that down, but we are sitting right there at it on the close on Friday. And then within that larger pattern, I show a descending triangle here as well. Now, if this breaks to the downside, you can see the XLF would measure down about 44 cents, which would take us down right to around that support area, around that 870 area. So it's funny how things line up, but should this resolve to the downside, the objective measured target comes in down around that area. Again, should this turn back up and break this pattern to the upside, well, then it's negated, and you know it would favor some further upside movement. So keep in mind that these particular patterns do typically play out, and this is a bearish pattern that normally resolves to the downside, but until it's confirmed with a decisive breakdown, it is only that, a pattern that has yet to be confirmed. Sometimes they'll break down and rally back up and backtest, and if that backtest is successful, that provides a great opportunity, in this case, to position short. But if we rally back up and break back into the pattern, well, then I guess it's a reason to be extremely cautious with that short. Here again, you can see, and I didn't draw it in, the negative divergence that's in place here. So the odds favor some type of pullback occurring this week. The question is, will we get it immediately, and how deep of a pullback will we get? Will it unfold as an ABC where we come down, bounce up for part of the week, and then start to come down? Hard to say, so we'll have to track it day by day. And then the next chart is a 60-minute chart of the SRS. I know many members on the board have traded this. This is an extremely volatile instrument, so please take note of that. But it looks to be forming some type of bullish falling wedge pattern. We clearly have positive divergence that is developing here on the most recent lows. We've yet to get a decisive breakout of this pattern, but it looks positioned to move up out of this pattern. I looked at the 5-minute on SRS as well, and you could draw it in here. You can eyeball it, and you can see a potential little ascending triangle, and that ascending triangle would measure up around 5-7 points, maybe taking us back up to retest that previous high around 60-62. So that could be a initial target if we break out of this pattern. The next chart is a chart of the transports. Matt drew this chart. I found it extremely well done. You can see the transports have now rallied back up to previous support, turn resistance, horizontal support there, which happens to coincide with our intermediate term downtrend line. So there is a confluence of resistance there. Needless to say, we've paused there. We had a small candle turning down on Friday. Now it remains to be seen if we'll get a breakdown out of this steep rising trend line, or we're going to try to break to the upside. We don't have any negative divergence in place on the daily, but again, everything is at or near resistance here with our oscillators extended. Same thing is true for the IYT. The reason we're showing the IYT is that is one way to trade this pattern, and that would be potentially putting on a short of IYT with a stop somewhere just above this previous high around the 51.22 area, which corresponds fairly nicely with the confluence of resistance. So if someone was to enter a short here, maybe you put a stop up around the 52 area, give it a little room. The next chart, and I have got a few charts here, and then I'm going to wrap it up, are on some of our indicators. And the one thing I want to point out on this first one, which is the NYSI, and this shows the summation index ratio adjusted. Here you can see that we have some negative divergence beginning to develop on this indicator with respect to price below. We have not made a higher high while the index has made a higher high, and this is just the opposite of what we showed in late February and March, where the NYMO, McClellan Oscillator, was actually making higher lows, whereas price was making a lower low. That proved to be quite proficient and kicked off a rally. So will it do the opposite and we get some type of turn down here? It remains to be seen, but this is another indicator that's suggesting the potential of at least a pullback or corrective move to unfold in the not too distant future. The same thing is true for the next chart, which is showing that our percentage of S&P stocks above their 50-day moving average are getting up to elevated levels. Again, by itself, it's not a sell signal. It's just a warning that we are getting up to areas or approaching areas where we've seen topping action before. Now, whether or not it ends up being some type of intermediate top or just something that allows a pullback within an uptrend, only time will tell, but we are now up and we did get up towards that 75% area, which has coincided very nicely with tops before. Yes, we've gotten up over 80% below. It doesn't mean we have to get up there in order to get a pullback. The fact that this was at lower levels back on 3/8, and Matt pointed this out very observantly, you know, proved to be a good indicator as, you know, that was one day before our bottom and we launched. The VIX is clearly shown in a symmetrical triangle. One may even consider it a descending triangle. I guess a decisive break out of this pattern would also serve to confirm either an extension of our rally or perhaps a reversal to the downside. Right now, it's been just trading with smaller candles. You can see the 5-3 stochastics has come down. It's looking to reset. So we'll see how things play out. Behind this VIX chart, I show a S&P chart. So you can see that as the VIX has come down since March 9th, and just slightly, the market has rallied up. So it's held that nice inverse relationship. And that's all I have to say. I know it's taken some time, but again, our major thesis here is that for now, it looks like the shorter term and intermediate term are trending up. Yes, we're extended, and we could start a pullback or could have started a pullback on Friday, but for now, we're going to be viewing this anticipated pullback as a potential buying opportunity. Should we start impulsing to the downside? Well, we'll certainly not going to just look to buy into the market if that's the case. But for now, we view the intermediate trend as something that is likely to have more upside in the coming weeks and months. But remember, that is within a larger primary downtrend. That's all I have to say. I'm going to turn it over to Matt.
Okay, thanks, Steve. I have some charts here. I'm going to try to get through these here pretty quickly, folks, because it's already kind of late. First off, I just want to take a look at some weekly charts. These are mainly sector charts, but they go along with the larger theme that, you know, we're in some kind of primary wave B countertrend rally that should last several months or so. All these charts, you'll see pretty much the same thing. They're weekly charts. They have Fibonacci line retracements drawn on them, and they have key moving averages. The Russell 2000 here, you can see the divergence. And again, you know, a potential target maybe over time could be the 38 to 50% retracement. And quite possibly a retest of that thick red moving average, which is the 89-week moving average. It was support in the last bull market, and maybe now it will be retested. BKX, here's a weekly chart of the banks. And again, you can see how the 65-week moving average acted as support during the last bear bull market. So, you know, over the next few months, I mean, if you had a good enough rally, maybe you can make it back to one of these moving averages. Same with the XLF. Here's a weekly chart. I have fibs also drawn on here. Take a look how the 65-week moving average was supporting the last bull market. You know, as that works down over time, possibly over the next few months, maybe we can make it up there. Again, that would be a huge percentage move. Wouldn't go straight there, but maybe it would chop its way around. The broker index, little W bottom forming here. Again, the pattern would measure up to about the 38% retracement. Again, I'm just giving you some longer-term weekly look at these indexes, folks. It's not gonna, these indexes aren't going to go straight up to those areas, and they might not even go that high. But, you know, that is possible under a countertrend wave B rally. Those areas are potential areas. And so, at least for now, you know, we look to play the long side on the move up. And so we are buyers on an orderly pullback in this market. Transports, you have kind of a wedge pattern here. And again, you can see how the 65-week moving average was support during the last bull market. As that comes down over time, maybe it will come up with a 50% retracement or the 38%. And so that could be a target area for the Russell. The retail, you can see it's kind of a W pattern here in this weekly chart. Again, a target might be a retest of the broken or the downtrend line. That could be a target over time. Healthcare, you know, target over time could be one of the 38 to 50% retracement. The drug sector could be a retracement of the downtrend line. The commodity stocks, CRX index, which is the next chart. Notice how perfect that 65-week moving average was during the bull market. It retested it many times, and it is now resistance. And that would be my target area for commodity stocks, would be a rally backup to test that 65-week moving average. It also, it would probably also correspond to the Fibonacci retracement. You can see the little W pattern that's formed here. Again, it's not going straight there, but that's, you know, over time during this countertrend wave B rally over the next few months, that could be achievable. Same way with the CRB, that's the commodities themselves, not the commodity stocks, but the commodities. You know, maybe over time it could retrace 38%. Boy, it looks pretty far away from this chart, as you can see. Commodities, as you know, were hit so hard from the July 2008 highs to early this year. So just a 38% retracement would be one heck of a move, at least on this chart. OIH, weekly chart, again, maybe over time it makes it up to the 38% retracement or a little bit higher. So anyway, those weekly charts are just to give you an idea of what the weekly indexes and sectors look like and maybe potential retracement areas over time during the countertrend wave B rally. Again, I don't see this as a bull market. I see this as a countertrend bear market rally. Okay, but those are some of the potential areas. Just wanted to give you a longer-term, big-picture look at the indexes and sectors. Next, I'm looking at some commodities. Here's a daily chart of DBC, this commodity ETF. And as I've been stating, it's put in its fifth wave bottom in early March and broke out of a, you can see clearly see the five-wave downtrend in the completion as well as a breakout from a bullish falling wedge. So over time, again, I think this moves higher, at least up to the 200-day moving average potentially. And DBC, the commodity index or ETF, is on the watch list. I put it on the watch list actually last Sunday, a week ago, and I put it on there as a ETF that could be bought on pullbacks. And so it's pulled back since I put it on the watch list on lighter volume, and the target areas were the moving averages here. So anywhere down in here is potential area to scale in. I think over time it will move higher. It could go lower here. It could go into the, you know, and it could go to 20 or even a little lower than that. Again, you just have to decide on your own. You could either wait for a more pullback, or you can scale in a little bit. Sometimes I suggest scaling in, because if you try to buy your position at once, or you're waiting for a certain number, you might not get that number, and so it's better to scale sometimes. And so again, over time, I think the DBC ETF will move up to around the 200-day moving average or even a little higher. That would represent a 38% to a 50% retracement. It has a nice base on it as well. Not going straight there, but if you want a long, you want a swing trade that you can hold for weeks, and you don't have to, it's not going to be a big volatile movement, this is one you can do. DYY is also on the watch list. It's the ultra long commodity ETF, so the percentage is going to be double that of DBC. Again, it has pretty much the same identical pattern, kind of a bull flag pattern set up. So, you know, it was put on the watch list as a buy on pullbacks. So, you know, you could buy some now if you want, scale into it a little bit, or wait for more of a pullback, your choice. And over time, I think it moves higher. Crude oil moved up last week, but it finally pulled back a little bit here. And it looking a little tired here. Over time, again, I think it moves higher. I think it could potentially make it up to the 200-day moving average, but it is getting a little tired here, and it's not going to go straight up, so I'm be surprised to see a little pullback in the short term. The reason why I say that is because we have OIL on the watch list. That's the one of the crude oil ETFs. The other main, the only popular one is USO. Anyway, we bought this on February 19th, so we bought it at a very good price. We scale out of half of our position. We still have partial position. The volume is starting to wane here a little bit, so I wouldn't be surprised to see a little pullback. So it's up to you if you want to sell it, buy some again on a pullback, or if you just want to sit on it, your choice. Over time, again, I think it goes higher, but it might need a little pullback here in the short term. There's a trend line support there. You can see the thin up trend line around 20, and all, as well as the 20 and 50-day moving averages could act as support. Again, longer term, I think crude oil can make it up to the 38% retracement of the whole move down, or a retest or a back test of that uptrend channel here you see on this weekly chart, and that's all the way up around in the low 70s. Again, it's not going to go straight up there. It's going to ABC up potentially, but that would be my longer term target on crude oil. U.S. dollar, last week we said it looked like a bear flag. I'd say it's still in a bear flag pattern essentially. Moving on, the gold is a little tricky here, folks. A couple weeks ago, I had it as a head and shoulder pattern, and it started to break down, and then it rallied back up, and we had the FOMC meeting, and the Fed announced that they were going to print as much money as needed. So at that time, gold had a $60 reversal. This pattern is still potentially valid. Gold moved down last week, and ignore the pattern for now. Just follow the uptrend line. Gold is holding this uptrend line, so it's either going to bounce off this uptrend line and go higher, in which case this pattern would be invalidated, or if it breaks this uptrend line, it's probably likely pull back to 900, and below there, then this pattern could start to play out, and we could start to see a decent retracement on gold. So gold's tricky here. It's at a break point on its uptrend line, so it either rallies off of here or it breaks down. Pretty much simple as that. It's a 60-minute chart of GLD, the ETF, and I have in a triangle pattern here. So you can see a little descending triangle type here. If it were to rally up and break the downtrend lines, that would be bullish for gold. But if it loses the horizontal support, that would be bearish. And here's a 15-minute chart. Next, gold stocks. Gold stocks are a bit tricky here, folks. I had this in the newsletter last week. GDX is potentially some kind of cup and handle pattern, or maybe a bullish pattern, or it could be more of a bearish pattern with a fifth wave top forming in here with negative divergence. It's really tough to say. There's some strong horizontal resistance around here, and after that there's a resistance at the thick downtrend line. So it's really tough to say here, folks, on gold stocks. So if you own them or you're interested in them, keep an eye on them. However, in the very short term, GDX, there's a 60-minute chart, and I mentioned this last week on the blog, that GDX looked like a bearish rising wedge with negative divergence on a 60-minute chart. I mentioned this on the blog, and anyway, this is starting to play out here. So it may or may not have more to downside to play out, but just keep an eye on this. Again, I'm on gold stocks. I'm really kind of iffy to see if they're going to have another move up here or if they're going to have to start a correction. And when things are a little iffy, I tend to not want to play them or keep position size small. So just take that to heart. Huey, here's a daily chart of the Huey. It's another gold stock index. It's hit resistance here. It's kind of in a little uptrend channel, but it hit resistance. And here, last chart here is a weekly chart. The last two charts are two weekly charts. One is the GDX, and one is the an ETF, the gold stocks from ProFunds. and are both potentially in bearish rising wedge patterns. And these are steep patterns, but they are rising wedge patterns. And so that could be something to be concerned about. Of course, they'd have to pull back quite a ways for these wedge patterns to play out, but it's just what the weekly charts look like. Lastly, discussing the mechanical systems. The mechanical systems had a great week. You can see the SRS systems made about 26% last week, and while the SSO and QLD 15-minute systems made about 8 to 8.9%. So great weeks for the mechanical moving average systems. And as you, those of you on the site, as you know, on the blog, I have a link to real-time dynamic charts. Now, these are only the 15-minute charts. I'm not able to put 6-minute charts in here, but there's a link on the blog, and there's a link right here in this newsletter. So if you want to have the link open during the day and you want to see when the moving averages cross, you can do it. Though I suggest on your own to set up the moving averages and the charts on your own. And there's also a page here that explains the moving averages in more detail. You can see it. The link says Mechanical Systems Page Detailed Explanation. So make sure to read that page if you don't know. If you have some questions on the moving averages before you ask me, you might want to look through that because it's fairly detailed, and I think I answer everything. So anyway, folks, that does it. It's getting late, so let's cut this short, and let's see what happens this week. Let's see if we get a pullback. Futures are down a little bit tonight, so let's see if that follows through tomorrow. Have a great evening. Talk to you later.